Wow, my heart is full. What a blessing to be able to worship together on this cold, rainy morning. And we're going to continue in worship. We're going to continue in the Gospel of Matthew. We're in chapter 16. And we're blessed today. Pastor York is going to present God's Word to us. Our youth know Pastor York preaching both at the summer camp and then also come once or twice on Friday night. Once on Friday night. So let's give our brother a warm welcome.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Amen. Awesome. Hey, is there a can I use this for the podium? Yeah, okay, cool. Thank you. I'm going to move this over here real quick. All right. So my name is York, and I have been in Texas for 2 years. So this is my second year. I am from California. So right in that area where the fire is happening, actually, in Pasadena. So I really appreciate it. You know, it's just having that prayer. That meant a lot, because honestly, a lot of my friends, even my mentors, you know, churches. This is one church I know that my friend goes to. It's literally right in that area. They can't meet there anymore because of the smoke and the fire. So thank you guys, you know, just for joining that prayer. This is a sad time, honestly, for people in California. I know, like, there's a tendency to be like, well, you know, bad government, yada, yada, yada. I would agree. But I think time right now is more like, it's just coming compassion and prayer. You know, that there's real need. People's house burned down, who have taken roots in that place for years and years. Memories gone, you know, for the sake of evacuating. So, as you guys in your prayer time, it would mean so much if you're praying and asking the Lord to bless those who suffered. I would say especially those who love the Lord. Amen? Can we do that? Yeah, thank you all so much. But anyways, my name is York. I got a chance to know some of the youth here because of D-Camp. I went over the summer. I'm actually good friends with Jeremy, so if you guys remember him. And this was a privilege when Pastor Matt and Iggy, I think, invited me to share with you guys on Sunday. I've asked Pastor Matt, like, what are you doing? What are you guys doing? What are you guys on? And he said, we're going through Matthew, and I was excited. Because I actually really love the book of Matthew. It is one of my favorite books of the Bible. It is, I think, the first book of the Bible I ever read, especially when I was a young Christian. It was, what's the first thing you open, right? Like, New Testament, and you're a new believer, and it's like, Matthew. So you start there, right? That's just how I started. It made such an impact on my life that I really believe, before I went kind of crazy in college, what grounded me from going too far was the Word of God. And it was on Matthew. So I love the book of Matthew. It's such an honor to be able to teach you guys and share with you guys today. One thing I find special about the book of Matthew is that, in my opinion, it encompasses everything that you need to live as a believer. Like the parables, Sermon on the Mount, like the entirety of how do I live as a citizen of heaven, it's all there, in my opinion. And if I feel like if we, as Pastor Matt, go through all this, like you'll get a good idea of what God wants for your life. And that's why I love that book so much. All right, so today I know you told me you're on 16 and just happened to be on Matthew 13. I'm going to go 13 to 23 today. It's such an important part of the scripture. It is, man, I love the word. I got saved when I was 16. I moved here from Taiwan when I was around 10. And I've always believed that the Lord brought me to America just so I can meet Jesus. In all honesty, you know, I didn't want to be here. I was very happy in Taiwan at that time. And all of a sudden, my parents were like, you got to move. And it's like, you know, when you're young, you don't really have a choice. And I'm here. And honestly, thank you, Lord. I'm so glad I met the Lord. He just changed my life. And throughout this, like, I'm 36 now. So since I was 10, I was here, I guess, 11. You know, 15 years? No, more than that, 25 years. See, I can't do math, by the way. I break that stereotype of like, you know, Asians can do math, not me, okay? I gave up on math pretty quickly, to be honest. But yeah, but really, you know, after college was just the time when the Lord really met me in kind of a low point in my life. And found the Lord again right when I graduated around 2011, so now you know. And ever since then, like, it's been such a journey for me with God. I was going on the medical route, like most Chinese folks here. You know, be a doctor. Nah, it's the only thing I know. Honestly, I was good with biology. You know, I decided just to give it a shot. But halfway through, around 25 years old, I discovered apologetics. I've also encountered many amazing miracles that the Lord has shown in front of me. I've seen a blind eye got healed in front of me. I've seen a person who got like seriously injured and unable to move, and we prayed for him. He started moving after that in the middle of the street. And I discovered Christian apologetics. You know, I read Lee Strobel. Anybody read Case for Christ in that right here? Yeah, great book. Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus by Nabil Qureshi, one of the biggest books that impacted my life. So I loved, and I got a degree, a master's in Christian apologetics at Biola, at Talbot. And I decided I'm going to go into ministry. You know, I think this is the most important thing in my life. And I thank God for it. So I love the Word of God. I love this. This is such... If you haven't encountered the love of God, I am praying that the Holy Spirit will touch you today. That's my prayer. Now, I'm a young guy, and this is obviously a wide range of people here. But more than just me, I am praying that the Lord Himself will move on your hearts tonight. I'm praying that you will leave here different than when you walk in. That's my prayer for you. All right? Awesome. Can you repeat after me? Put your hand on your heart. This is something that I learned from my pastor. Just pray with me. And this is all this is. Say, dear Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. Awesome. Let's go. Matthew 16, one of my favorite passages I've ever had. What I'm going to do is this. Oh, this is a little high. Sick. All right, Matthew 16, one of my favorite. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read the whole passage. I have an NIV on my Bible, and it has an ESV. I'll read off the screen. But when I go over to verse by verse, I'll read it from my Bible. Just, you know, it's a little bit different. Yeah, well, I'm NIV. It's cool. That's my first Bible, that first translation I ever exposed to. But I'll read the whole thing to you guys, and then I'm going to explain some of these stuff, and I'm going to go after what I think the Lord wants to emphasize today. And hopefully at the end, there'll be some time for prayer and ministry, because I want to make room for the Holy Spirit to move. All right, I'm going to make room for Him to move. All right, so let's just read it. When Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" He said to them, and Simon Peter replied, "Well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven." And he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Amen. A little background on where they are exactly. Caesarea Philippi is... But the previous slide for me. Thanks, brother. Caesarea Philippi is a beautiful, beautiful area. It is north, 150 miles north of Jerusalem. So it's like, pew. And it is so far away from any of the conservative like Jewish tradition practice. It's very far removed from that. That whole area is very pagan. Caesarea Philippi is sort of the place where they believe where the Jordan River started. And it's a mountain, the city next to a mountain. It is beautiful. There's water. It's lush. It's just a fertile place where you never had to worry about running out of water. And part of the beauty attracted all kinds of people. Harold the Great saw this place. They're blown away. It's like, wow, let's build a temple worshiping Caesar. So boom, there's one temple there. The city was dedicated initially to the Greek god Pan, which is a god of fertility. And there's also all these other like temples and pagan worship all over that area. So it's beautiful. It's multicultural. But it has a really dark side to it. Pan is a fertility god. And if you know anything about the ancient Near East of fertility cult worship, there's always sex involved. There's always. You know, somehow you have sexual rituals with the temple prostitutes, and somehow that leads to fertility of the land or something like that. And it's just a weird sexual immoral place on top of pagan worship and political. It's just a mixed bowl, kind of like Vegas. So imagine when Jesus brought his disciple 150 miles north, and you go, and they're like, where are we going? And it's like walking through the red light district, and just like, this is, what are we doing here? Now this is awkward, right? It is. Like, don't look. Oh my gosh, they're doing that. And then walking through, and in the middle of all the pagan sacrifices and the temple, Jesus stood there. So what do people say about me? Right, it's a weird, and just, I don't know, if I were the 12, I'd just be like, man, it's uncomfortable, all right, and it is. Anybody ever watched the TV show Chosen? Does anybody know about, okay, I saw one hand, praise God. Anybody see another? Like, nobody here know about TV show Chosen, okay. The Chosen is a crowdfunded TV show about Jesus. It's on Netflix, it's on Amazon Prime. It is the most crowdfunded show ever in history, and it's high. I loved it personally. If you don't like it, I don't, fine, God bless you, but I loved it. It helped me bring the Bible to life, and it's just a great, great series about the life of Jesus through the eyes of a disciple. You know, check it out, The Chosen. But they have a scene like this where Jesus walked up in front of all the pagan worship, and they're just like, what is he doing here? So a little side note about this. Now, I just want to add this to you guys. Something I wish y'all can know about Jesus is this, is that our Lord has no problem going to the darkest places to shine his light. He has no problem. And I think as believers, if we really know and understand who he is in us, then we're not the type of people that go and flee from darkness. We stand in it. Believe that he who is in us is greater than that's in the world. Amen? So we don't fear that. And this is what he does. It's also called the gates of hell, or Hades, actually. The temple, the grotto of Pan. It's this giant cave. And water just kind of flows from underground underneath it. It's really cool. But because of the waterfalls and all that, the air gets very misty. And that the pagan religion, the Greeks really believed that the gods reside in the underworld. So they really felt that cave is sort of the doorway to the underworld. So even on top of the sexual immorality, on top of all these other stuff that's happening there, there is a spiritual atmosphere that's obviously demonic. Do y'all agree? All those sacrifices, pagan worship, idolatry. So it is just a dark place, despite being a very beautiful geographic area. And Jesus himself stood in the middle of all that and asked a question. Verse 13, right? Who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied in verse 14, they say, John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets, right? Today, it hasn't changed for 2,000 years. There are so many opinions about who Jesus is always. Great teacher, prophet, yada, yada, yada. Opinions, 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 opinions. Well, side note, one of the biggest differentiator between a cult or false religion and Christianity is the answer of who is Jesus, right? So Islam believe that Jesus is a prophet? No, Jesus is God, which is why our God and their God is not the same. Same thing with Mormonism. But the differentiator is Jesus. Who is he? And then he turned around in the midst of the cacophony of sound and spiritual atmosphere and idolatry. He then asked the question to his disciple, well, what about you? Who do you say I am? And this is the title of the sermon. Who do you say I am? This, everyone in this room, everyone in the world, they will have to, you all, we all have to answer this question. Who is Jesus Christ to me? Genuinely. Whether you don't know him, and that's okay if you're here visiting today, whether you've been a veteran Christian for years, everyone gets asked this question. Right? God even used this question to challenge you as an invitation to grow deeper in relationship with him. Amen? If you're in a season where, look, I am in the unknown right now. I don't know what is next. I'm not sure what's going to happen. And the Lord will remind you, in the midst of the unknown, who do you say I am? In the midst of the chaos in your life, as a believer, we get confronted in this question, right? I'm dealing with so much anxiety and so much fear. I don't know what's happening. I'm sick, my family's sick, whatever. My school, I don't know. There's always an invitation by the Lord in the stages of our life to draw deeper to him as he sanctifies us. But it's rooted in that question, who do you say he is? Because if he is my Lord, and the one who is above all and in all, now I need to reevaluate where I stand, where my fear is. God, you know what? You're right. In this moment, I am scared, I'm tense, but you are my God. The one that walks on the water, the one that calms the storm with a command, the one who's almighty. Some of us need to be reminded with this question, who do you say he is? Is he just, I don't know, life insurance? No offense for people who grew up in the Bible Belt. I didn't. But I go to church just in case. Just in case when I die, just in case I did a check mark. Is Jesus just, I know this is challenging some folks in this room, forgive me, but I'm going to do it. I don't know, is Jesus just, I'm just forced to be here? And then when I'm going to college, I finally get to live, praise God. Is Jesus just a friend? Is he just a checklist? Is he just... See, when Peter said, you are the Messiah, Son of the living God, the Jewish year and the perspective is this, you are the one that will rule over me. You're the one I submit to. And they say, the Son of living God, well, he may or may not understand what that fully means. He is of the same essence of God, therefore equal with him. So there's this thing where Peter made this declaration in front of everybody. You're my king. You're my God. Is that true for you? That's my first point today. Everyone is a reminder. And this question being asked in your life, in your circumstances right now, who do you say he is? And I'm not saying because if he is your Lord and you know it in your heart, the fear, the anxiety, the depression immediately leaves. That's not what I'm saying. But how many of you know that these things can start to break when you surrender again today? I love this passage. It's not just significant, it's historically significant. It's a full acknowledgement of who Jesus really is. And the irony of it all is not in Jerusalem, but in the middle of pagan worship, in the middle of darkness. In the midst of darkness, he shines. I'm submitted to his lordship. And here's the thing about being submitted to his lordship. I love this, verse 17 says this. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but by my Father in heaven. How many of you know that you need God to know God? You need God to obey God. Hence why he says, blessed are poor in spirit. Do you recognize you're nothing without him? It's funny. Here's the thing about knowing God. And I want to challenge some of the folks in this room. Do you know God, or do you know a lot about him? Right? I know a lot. Well, you know, I like Robert Downey Jr., right? Iron Man. I know Robert Downey Jr., in a sense where I know about him, but I don't have him on his phone number in my contacts, right? I don't know him like that, but I know about his films. I love Iron Man, obviously, if you know, with my age. I know about him, but I don't know him. Do you know about Jesus, or do you know Jesus? And the steps to get to know him is actually here. Who do you say he is? An invitation to go deeper. I think it's available for you today. Yeah. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is very special for Peter. Because whenever the Lord changed someone's name, it's a big deal, right? Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, Jacob to Israel, Simon to Peter, the rock, that's what it means, the rock Dwayne Johnson, no, the rock. I got a few laughs, praise God, okay, see? The thing about preachers, you can do a bad joke and you can get the whole people to laugh. That's good, just laugh. the rock. And it says, on this rock I'll build my church. Again, big debate between Catholics and Protestants. I'm just going to say this. On this statement on who he is, he'll build his church. The statement on faith. My church. The word church, ecclesia, if you don't know this, I think the first time it showed up in Matthew. The word church in Greek is just a common word. We don't have an English equivalent. It's the word congregation, gathering. In Rome, like, if you don't know what's happening, the citizens will go to ecclesia, they will gather, and it's like a town hall, kind of, not really, and they will hear about the news of the kingdom. That's how they gather, and they just hear. It's just gathering. Therefore, the church means the people. We like to call New Hope church, referring to the building, but the church has always been about his people. And on this rock, on the statement of faith that you are my God, you are my Christ, on this statement of faith, he will build his people. And the power behind the statement in where he stands was, no, the gates of hell, darkness, cannot overcome it. Cannot overcome his people. And that is so true on a macro level, where today, honestly, the 2,000 years, the church hasn't gone away. Amen? People have tried. We're not going away. I remember 10, 15 years ago, there was a study about how like Islam is going to outgrow Christianity simply because, on average, they have 5 to 6 kids. And then about 10 years ago, and it's still happening today, and Muslims are encountering the Lord, getting saved in droves in the millions. If you don't believe, you just go Muslim, convert to Christianity, Middle East. Millions are saved. And a study shown in an evangelist magazines, they will say at least 25% of the converts in the Middle East had a dream or a vision about Jesus with no prior knowledge of who he really is. The gates of hell cannot stop. Darkness cannot stop the people of God who are built upon his rock, who are built upon the fact that he is my God. He is my God. And it works on a micro level too, on your personal life. I know very much and am very aware, just because we received and received the Lord and his blood is washed over me and makes my sin, my cleanse my sin, and I'm a new creation in him, it doesn't mean that I'm exempt from attack from the demonic. It doesn't mean I'm exempt from that. We are born in the new life into a spiritual battle. That is just what it is. And it's very obvious, I think, to this day and age, how prevalent darkness is around us. And how much we, and the students, I think everyone's affected by it. Did you know that? Well, this is my second point, though. I'll give you the keys of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth should be loose in heaven. I'm not going to get too deeply on that because of the discussion and controversy on that. But I think it's about authority. We're free to pray here on earth, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As a believer, when you received, when you're under the authority of Christ, he gives you authority. And I can pray to my circumstances with people around me, peace on earth as it is in heaven. Darkness flee me on earth as is in heaven. I'm going to have Sam wrap me up real quick. If there are areas in your life today, I'm only having play because I really want the Holy Spirit to minister, and we associate our worship with music in this Protestant culture. Do you mind lower the volume for that a little bit? Thank you. But if there are any areas in your life that you know you're bounded by darkness, I'm calling this perpetual cycle, or here, I feel like the Lord is saying debilitating anxiety. And the reason why, and not all the reasons, that you're under such attack, it's because of that area of your life, you haven't asked the question, who is he to you? Not out of shame. Please, I'm not shaming anybody in this room. If there's a place where I'm dealing with severe anxiety, especially things like the future, and you're not submitted to his lordship, then you're submitted to something else. And that something else have no problem destroying you because that something else doesn't care about you. It's called demons. They don't care about you. If I'm not submitted to lordship, I feel I'm on anxiety a lot today. I don't know why. I was going to say depression, but I feel the word anxiety. I'm not shaming anyone in this room. And if you deal with shame, again, I think that is not of the Lord. Yes, I don't. Shame is saying there's something wrong with me. Now there's something wrong. Our repentance will ask you to repent for your action. I did something wrong. I'm going to repent and turn. Shame is there's something wrong with me. And here's the thing about shame. The Lord says you're a new creation. I'm not worthy to approach God. No, you're not. But he loves you anyways, though. And if you, in this room, struggle to find and attach yourself to the love of God because you don't feel worthy, I'm going to tell you this right now. Humble yourself, because you, oh man, thinks you're not worthy, but the Lord, the God, the Creator and Alpha and Omega, loves you. Who are you, oh man, to tell you that you're not worthy of his love because he's the one who poured it out for you? Who are you? Not worthy, not willing to receive. How dare you not love yourself when he loves you more than you can ever love yourself? Shame. That part of your life isn't submitted to his lordship. I'm terrified. I'm in the unknown. There's too many things ahead of me. I have no clue what's happening. And that's causing me to have the inability to make decisions that I need to make. If that is you today, I want to invite you to draw closer as he asks a question to you. Who do you say I am? Can we bow our heads for a second? And this is just between you and the Lord. It's a simple message, but I think it has deep consequences. And without anyone looking, I just want to pray over you guys. I do. I'm going to go by what I think the Lord is saying. I don't know. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But if you struggle, honestly, with lack of hope in this room right now, like I struggle, I am having a hard time to have hope. I am just depressed because of that. I'm hearing these intrusive thoughts in my head. And I'm telling you this, I'm just saying, not every thought you have in your head is from you. If you believe God can influence you, if you believe demon can influence your thoughts, then by definition, not every thought you have comes from you. And we're going to bind the lies. If anybody in this room, if that's you today, I'm struggling with having hope. Can you just, when no one looking, just raise your hand. Just, I want at least to know if I'm hearing this right. I'm struggling with hope. Doesn't have to be high. That's awesome. If that's you today, you can repeat after me. Well, you can follow my instruction. Would you submit the situation to the Lord right now and surrender it to him? And just say to the Lord in your own words, "You are my God." Something like that. Declare your faith and trust in him again. Submit it to him again in your own words. Because we believe in a God of hope. If you struggle right now with thinking the worst case scenario of everything, I'm going to challenge you that you have not considered the God of hope in your imagination. Who do you say he is? If you struggle with people pleasing, I gotta perform for people. I struggle. I'm a people pleaser. If that is you, you've chosen to submit to the opinion of people then instead of God. This is an invitation right now to resubmit to him. I'm praying for you guys right now. May the words of the Lord, may the fear of the Lord, may your reverence and respect for God will be greater than your fear of man right now in Jesus' name, if that is you today. Who do you say that he is? So God, I just pray right now. For everyone in this room, I pray. the gates of darkness will not stand and overcome it. This church will not overcome the people here in this room. That the enemy have no right and reign over my brothers and sisters here. God, I'm praying those who are seeking you and are desperately seeking you, God, may you respond. And I pray in the name of Jesus, fill them with the Holy Spirit. I pray for breakthrough in Jesus' name. You've been stuck in a cycle. I'm going to pray for you right now that the name of Jesus that breaks every chain that you're bound in Jesus' name. Freedom from fear and anxiety that's crippling and just irrational. I pray for the spirit of self-control and peace be upon you right now. I pray for my brothers and sisters that no weapon formed against you will prosper in the name of Jesus. And your word, Lord, you said this, the gates of hell on this rock, you'll build your people and the gates of hell will not stand against it. Then we hold on to your victory. You are overcomer. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you all very much. Pastor Matt. Yeah.